All right, Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 4. No handouts today, no overheads. Just like to tie a few things together now as we, I think we're not concluding our striving together theme, but we are certainly ending just the thrust of this little part of Christ's mission. We're going to continue on with the theme, but this aspect of preach four messages on this, and I want to draw some conclusions and with what Christ is calling us to do and joining him in his mission in the Striving Together series. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking not at the entire chapter, but I'm going to ask you to go to different parts of the chapter to for us to answer some questions. But just for a brief moment, let me try to review with you. I've entitled the message this morning, The Decision. And of course, that almost sounds like, okay, the decision. Well, it'll be an individual thing for you to think through. But let's look at this. In review, we have seen, and again, I'm going to be very careful not to go in depth in these all four of these messages that I've preached. Okay, try to be very simple. And it will be missing a lot because I've already preached them. And again, if you miss any of them, I encourage you to check any one of them out. I say check them out. It's not a checking out. It's a matter of taking them. They're yours. And there's no charge to our CD ministry. By the way, I get that question sometimes. You know, how much do you guys charge for your CDs? I want you to know, and if you don't know that, they're free. There's a ministry that we are here to do for you, something that you can take home, give them to other people. Most of our messages are online, but, you know, some people aren't online. And so if you would like to get them and play them in your CD players, you can do that and listen to those. So again, these messages are there. In fact, all the messages on the Striving Together series, we have those. And so any one of those you would like to listen to, please check those out and let it be a blessing to you. I think, if I calculated right, this is the 15th one on the whole series. So that's about where we are with that. But in short, we have been looking at his mission, Christ's mission to reach the world. And I'll tell you what, it didn't stop short in just a community. It went to the entire world. But yet Jesus, he came for this mission. The Father gave it to him. He came to this earth and he transferred that mission to us that we can obey it. In the first message that I presented, his mission, we see the who, and that's Christ. And the practicality of it is the attitude and the force of it. Folks, this was Christ's mission. This is what he came to do. And that needs to transfer to us. Folks, this is important. If this is what Christ came to do, is reach the world, ought we not to follow in that, in his steps? Of course we ought to. So Christ's mission, again, the biggest thing that we get out of that is our zeal, the attitude, the importance. This is something that we need to do, okay? It was Christ's mission. So we saw his mission. Second of all, we looked at his means, okay? This is his mission. He wants to evangelize the world. He wants everybody to hear. And what does he use as his means? It is the church, okay? So the church is the second. I give you these every week because I want you to see the importance. I hope that you memorize these things, not because you're going to be tested on them, not because of any other reason why. I want you to see the importance of this. This is not just a series of messages that I pulled out of a hat and decided to preach. This is importance. Number one, it's very important. Our attitude needs to be with Christ and his mission. We've got to see the world changed. Number two, he uses the church. So right here, this is how he's going to see it accomplished, folks. It's not going to be through political reform. It's not going to be the answer. It's not a president that's going to get saved or live in a godly way or promote prayer, which I'm thankful for. You know what? I could, you know, find a lot of negative things and I could find some positive things, but I want to tell you something. Whether you're for our president or against our president, I am thankful that we are not relying upon our president to reach the world with the gospel. We're not relying on our president to give us liberty and send us to heaven. We're not looking for leadership. Who knows what's going to happen to our country, right? We don't know what's going to happen to our country, but we do know what's going to happen in the world, in eternity. And that's Jesus Christ is going to come and gather us all up, and we're going to go to be with him forever. Aren't you thankful for that? And that's no matter who is in president, no matter what politics are involved, no matter what type of of a government we have, whether it's a democracy or a whatever it is. That doesn't change anything with God. And so I'm grateful for that. The means is the church. He has ordained that it's done through the church, not a man, not anything else. It's the church that does it. And so the call for that, the practicality of that, the who of the mission is Christ. The what of the means is the church. And that's engaging, okay? So we need to have this serious attitude and we need to decide, okay, this is it. So we need to engage as a church. Thirdly, we see his method. Here's the how, and that's through groups. Groups, small groups of people that are going to make an impact on other people. The practicality of that is a church organized. Organized to go out and to fill the Great Commission. We need to be organized to do it because our church cannot go out individually and do it. It's impossible. But through groups, we can do it. And then fourthly, 2 weeks ago, we looked at his medium. And this is the practical daily Bible studies. This is the executing of discover what God's Word says, make it a decision to obey it, and then share it with somebody else. And that is the means. I say the means. That is the medium in which Christ, so we see his mission, his means, his method, and his medium. And the goal is every member ministering so that the body can be edified. Okay? So that's, you know, if this is your first time, that would not have caught you up, but this is not your first time for the most of you. So there is where we're at. Now I want you to look, as we look at this every member ministry type of a mentality that Christ had with the church, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I want us to answer the question. You say, Pastor, we've already answered that, but I want you to see who is involved here in this passage. And we're going to see some great things. I hope this will help part of it come together, not on all the technical aspects of it, which, by the way, can I say this? A lot of you come to Sunday school, and some of you are not able to or don't come to Sunday school. I want to encourage you to come. And in the next several weeks, we just finished the several year-long, I thought, glorious opportunity to see the character of Jesus Christ, or God, in not so much just Jesus Christ, but God in Genesis. And now it came to a conclusion this morning, and I'm kind of sad about that because I've really enjoyed that series. Probably one of my favorite Sunday school series I've ever given since I've been in the ministry. And so I'm a little bit sad that's come to an end, but it was good. And it wasn't good because of me. It was good because of a good God in Genesis. But what I'd like to do in the next several Sunday school mornings is practically, very, very practically, give you a picture of what this is going to look like, how we see his mission with his means, the church with his small group, going and practically helping people to discover, obey, and share. You know, because that's still fuzzy in your minds. How are we going to do that? What do you mean? How are we going to utilize this? So I'd like you to come to Sunday school next week, and as I practically lay it out for you and show you, even physically, you know, kind of show you how it looks like. I've tried to on the screen, but that only goes as far as the screen goes. I think this will even be more helpful, so I'm going to encourage you to come. Maybe you don't normally come on Sunday school, but come and see what... I think that there will be people that don't come to Sunday school that you will be engaged and desire to come to Sunday school because of the way that we're going to do it. So I just put that in there for you. That will, Lord willing, if the Lord puts the green light on that, we will go with that next week. I want you to see the who involved here in the specifically in Ephesians chapter 4. If you recall, Ephesians chapter 4 is a passage that speaks about God gifting the church for the end result of growing his church and seeing the world evangelized. Honestly, that's really what he's trying to give here. And so this is a perfect passage for us. And so I want you to see something. I want you to go to verses 11 and 12. We're going to go back and we're going to look at some verses and we'll go forward as well. But I want to start with verses 11 and 12. And I want you to see who is involved here. It's very clear who is involved in Christ's mission. He says in verse 11, and he gave, okay, and he gave, that would be God or Christ, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? So he gave these four groups. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I want to draw your attention to the first group that's mentioned in verse 12, and that is the saints. That's who is involved here, the saints. Question though, who are the saints? Go back to verse 7. Excuse me. Go back to verse 7. We're asking the question, who is involved? Well, the answer is the saints. Who are these saints? We're not going to define saints. Understand that these are Christians. These are Christians that are part of the church. We're looking at the quantitative type of answer of who here. And who is it? Go back to verse 7. You fill in the blank. I'm going to start reading, and I want you to fill in four words when I stop, okay? But unto... Okay, some said it fast, some said it slow, okay? Let's do it just like this. Look up here, I'm going to do this. I'm going to cue you with my finger, okay? One, two, and three. You go at that speed, okay? Okay? There's four, actually. One, two, three, four, okay? Let's start again. Nice and loud together. But unto
every one of us
is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What were those four words? Every one of us, okay? Please understand that the who of the saints is not, it's not just a pastor. It's not just a set of deacons. It's not a group of Sunday school teachers. It's not a group of a hierarchy in a church. It's not that. It's not the males. It's not the adults. Who is it? Every one of us. Every one of us. Every body part. Every member. And when I say member, I'm not talking about the membership of Faith Bible Church. I'm talking about if you're here today and you come to Faith Bible Church, all the body parts that he has strategically placed right here, unto us is given this ministry. Every one of us, he says. This is the saints. The saints doing the work. It's every one of us. Folks, it's every one of us. The job is up to us to do this job. It's us. It's our job. I want everybody to understand that. You might be a person that say, you know, I'm not that member. I only come Sunday mornings. I only come this. Or I only do that. Listen, it's all of us. You say, well, I'm older and, you know, I can't make it out on soul winning. You know what? It's all of us. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go and walk on the streets. There's some people that don't do that, but they pray. You know, do you know that every one of us here can be involved in the ministry at Faith Bible Church? Every one of us. Every one of us can be a very key part of it. And that's why he says, the saints, and to every one of us. And notice what every one of us is given? Grace. That's a gift. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. By the way, that's a side note that I'm not going to talk about too much today. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Show me how big that is. You say, Pastor, I might as well raise my hand. You know, sometimes my kids say this, especially my younger ones, will say, how big? This big? I tease with one of them in particular. I won't say which name it is. I say, do you know your daddy? How much do you love daddy? You know, this much or this much? And of course, what's the answer? This much, you know, it's whatever. And how much do I love you? Do you think I love you this much? No, it's this much. However big this much is, right? No, it's big. And I'll tell you what, this doesn't do it justice, does it? I'm not talking about my love for my son. I'm talking about Christ's gift and his love to us. Listen, it's measureless. No hands, excuse me, no hands and fingers can number it, measure it, according to his gift. And I want to tell you something, his gift of eternal life, his gift of Christ is, as they say, unmeasurable, uncountable, priceless. That's according to, that's how much we have been gifted, every one of us, to fulfill something in this church. So you say, you know what, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, or I'm too that, I'm too shy, I'm too, you know what, under this in Ephesians, it erases all those excuses. He says, unto every one of us. Look down at verse 13. Look at verse 13. I just want you to take note of this, of the words number 2 and number 3. What does it say? Till we all. Till we all come in the unity. Is God satisfied with 75% of church unity? Is God satisfied with 75% of us making it to heaven, you know, the church body? No? How many of us are going to be in heaven? Those who are saved, how many of us will be there? Every one of us, right? All of us, because he cares for the whole. Every one of us. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And I'll tell you what, we will not be the perfect man until we reach heaven. But I tell you what, I think there's a very practical on earth application here. He wants us to come to the unity. But one day we will come in perfect unity. But he wants us to be unified. But he says, till we all come in. You know what? That leaves no exceptions for some of us to say, well, I'm not going to be unified with the church. No, he wants all of us to be unified. All of us together. All of us striving together for the faith of the gospel. Look at verse 16. Here we're looking at the third, fourth, and fifth words. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. The whole body. He doesn't say 75% of the body. You know, that word whole is 100%. It's the whole body. The whole body fitly joined and compacted by the which, give me the next two words, every joint. Listen, this is every part. This is every connection. This is every person. The whole body, every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So who's involved here? What's the answer? All of us. All of us. There are no exceptions. We need you. Did everybody hear that? We need you. We absolutely need you and what God has gifted you. We saw that he's gifted every one of you. And by the way, it is every one of you that is in this room today. And let's go beyond this room. And even the ones, the ushers that are out, and even the teachers in the back rooms with any of the children in the nurseries and in the cradles, whatever. We need every single person, everyone. And God has gifted every single person for the work of the ministry. And we're going to see here in just a moment, the goal is for the world to be reached. Every one of us is important. Again, don't get caught up in this idea that it just takes the pastor, it just takes a group of people. You know what? And to tell you the truth, even though Christ could do it, is it just has God put it to just Christ to do it? No, because you know, and you could technically say it is going to be Christ that does it, and it will be. But he chooses to use you. He chooses to use the church. Every one of us, God wants us to get involved. I disagree with churches that the majority of people don't get involved. I think it's wrong and ungodly. And today, our churches that are in our circles, I'll tell you what, most of the work is being done by a few people. Some would argue that it's a select few, that it's just the group of people that the pastor gets to do it. And I want to say that is not godly. And it's certainly not the goal here at Faith Bible Church. Everybody should be involved. And I'll tell you, I don't think that we should stop trying until everyone is. Now, the practicality of that, I don't know. I think it's possible. Will we ever get to it? I don't know. But we ought to keep trying until he does bring us into that perfect unity one day. We ought to keep trying that everybody is involved. So, who is involved here? Well, it's the saints. It's every one of us. It's all of us. It's the whole body. It's every joint. It's every part. It is the body as a one unit. It's not just Christ. It's not just the pastor. It's not a selected group. It is and will be every one of us. Now, if I could recall, some of you might have the handouts that I gave to you. I don't think that I gave you all the dots. I forget what I put in yours. But do you remember on the screen here, I had those dots, and there was one in the middle, and that represented in our initial illustration, that was Christ. Remember that? And how many did Christ get around him? 12. And we saw that 12, and then the yellow color that I picked, that light, I hope it was yellow, I'm colorblind. It probably was green or something like that. I'm always finding out that I think that colors are one thing and it's another thing. So I thought it was a yellow light. Pardon me if it wasn't. But the yellow light was supposed to go out to those 12. And that was, of course, Christ giving himself to these 12 individuals, which he did very effectively in 18 months. Obviously, he did because they were used to reach the world. Okay? So Christ went out. But then those apostles, those disciples, it took them a little while. But once they got on board and Peter recognized, wait a second, God can use me to do this. And John recognized for a moment, you know what, God can use me. And the two together go and preach the messages and thousands of people getting saved. I want to tell you something. The light went from 12 or from 1 to 12 to thousands and thousands of people. And you know, if I had that on the screen again today, I could pick that center when I say, is it just the center? Well, it's going to come from Christ, but he uses people. Is it just the special 12 that were around, which by the way were not very special, unlearned and ignorant men that seemed to have lots of problems? Was it just those men? Could 12 men reach the world? Not just 12, but 12 reproducing themselves in other 12. And that 12, you know what? If I had the illustration, I should have brought it up here again this morning. We should point at the center, yes, Christ. Or the teacher, the pastor, each individual 12. And then if we multiply that up and each 12 around them and blow it up again and each 12 around them, folks, honestly, you point to every one of those pinhole dots that were on the screen. And the job is who? Every one of us. Everyone. Please understand that. It's every one of us. You know what? We all will be followers. In that illustration, we're all followers. Every one of us. But take note of this. As every one of us are followers, do you know what? If it's according to God's way, do you know what every one of us will also be? A leader. Did you get that? It's leadership. Do you know that God does not just want you at Faith Bible Church to just be a follower? Everyone, let's not forget the who here. Every one of you, God has in mind for you to be a leader. A follower and a leader. That's reproduction. Just as I am a son, I also will end up being a father. The cycle goes on. That's Christ's mission accomplished through the church. And it's through who? Class? Who? Every one of us. It's got to be. It's got to be every one of us. And by the way, this is not my words. These are God's words. Let's go on to the second thing. Okay, so who and then the what. What is our duty? It's really not just going through the same things over again. I want to give you a little, there's an end here that I want to get at. What is the duty? And according to Ephesians chapter 4 is what we're looking at. So we see the who in Ephesians 4. Really, the answer was not those pastors and evangelists and all that group of four people. That was not the answer. Those were to train. The answer to this is every one of us. Every one of us. But now, what was the duty? What's the duty? I want you to go to verse 7. And see something in verse 7. Now, this is not our duty. This is someone else's duty in verse 7. And this is where it all starts with. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, whose duty is here? The gift of Christ, right? The gift of Christ is the one that gifts us. And so he starts there. According to the measure of Christ, God did this for us. He gifted us. That's not our job, by the way. It is not our job. So this is not our duty to be gifted. No, God did that. Did he do it? He did. Whether you haven't found yours or not, that's not. But God has gifted you. Every one of you know that. The scriptures tell us. Unto every one of us, he has gifted And he says that in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And that is so that the church can minister so that the world can be reached. So you're gifted in a specific way. So we're all gifted, right? That's what I wanted to get at with that. We didn't do that, but we are all gifted. Every one of us is gifted. Let's look at the second thing, okay? Our duty. Now, this is not necessarily yours, but look in verses 11 and 12. Can we see? And he gave some, this is to all, to you, he gave some what? Some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay, so God has gifted the church. He has gifted all of us with these. And I include myself with you because I'm a part of the church, okay? He's gifted us with prophets of old that were in the scriptures that we read about, and we praise the Lord for those prophets. He's gifted us with apostles of old, which are no longer. We don't believe that there's apostles that are still continuing on, but praise the Lord for what the apostles did through the scriptures and giving us his word. He gave that to the church. Then it says that he gave evangelists, the gift of the evangelist, to the church to utilize. So the gospel would be given and people's hearts and lives would be changed. And then, of course, pastors and teachers to train, to edify. So number two, we see that we're all gifted, but also all equipped. God-given leadership to equip us all. Now, this is a process. I'm going to look at you and say, you know what? You're gifted. We know that. And you're equipped. Well, that equipping is an ongoing process that we're doing. But I'll tell you this. If you've been in church, you are equipped to do the work of the ministry. Now, we've got to continue to learn, right? Should education ever stop? No. We've got to continue to learn. We've got to continue to grow so that we can be more effective. But we are equipped, and we will continue to be equipped. And that was God's job in giving that to us. And then it becomes my job to equip. Okay, and we've already talked about that. The pastor's job to then equip the people to do the work of the ministry, along with the evangelists, along with, of course, of old, the prophets and the apostles. So we're all gifted, right? Every one of us is gifted. Every one of us is equipped to an extent. We keep getting equipped. All in verse 12 doing what? With our gifting, with our equipping, all doing what? Verse 12, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's where all this gifting and this equipping helps us then to do the work of the ministry. So all of us being gifted, all of us being equipped, so that we can all do the work of the ministry. Remember the who here again. Who is doing the work of the ministry? Christ through all of us. All of us. I'm going to say that 100 times this message. All of us. All of us have been gifted. All of us are equipped so that we can all do the work of the ministry, not just some. All of us doing the work of the ministry for edification, of course. So all of us getting involved, all of us being learners, but all of us being leaders. God never intended a person to be a learner and not a leader. What happens if you're just going to be a son but never a father? What happens to the family? Stops. Do you see that that's what happens in church? If we're all just learners, what will happen? We'll stop. God wants us to be learners so that we can be leaders, okay? Leaders. He wants you to be a leader. That's foreign to some of you. I never thought that God wanted to be a leader in this church. He does. He wants you to lead. And he's given enough potential and equipping for you to do it. You. Every one of you. And I mean that, every one of you. I have hopes for every one of you to become not just learners, but leaders. Every one of you. Leaders. And if we would let this work, it would work. It'll be us. It will be depending if we do it or not. We'll demonstrate this even more next Sunday morning in Sunday school. So all gifted, all equipped, all doing the work of the ministry. Look at verse 13. There's another all there. All doing what? Verse 13 tells us, till we all come in the unity of faith. You know, it's God's plan for all of us to be working together as a body, all unified, doing it together. And I could preach another message on how, unity in the church and how we need to partner together. I have already. I'm not going to say much of it now, but God's goal is for every one of us to be unified. Every one of us, that we be together unified as a body, all of us doing the work of the ministry. And then jump to verse 15. All verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is the next thing, all loving. All loving. That's considering one another. Do you remember last week I told you I had a message that I thought was needed to be preached after my message today? That's it. It was the all loving and all considering one another, and it fit into the context of Thanksgiving. I preached it last week, okay? So think about last week just a little bit. All of us loving, considering one another. You know, that's God. God wants every one of us to consider one another in love. Every one of us, it's our goal to consider, whatever that means. We looked at that last week. I cannot preach it again this morning. Every one of us. So here we have our duty. Gifted. We're all gifted. We're all equipped. We're all doing the work of the ministry. All being unified. All loving together. Why do we do this? Now I want you to look at verses 15 and 16. Why? What is so important that everybody gets involved? What's so important that God has gifted every one of us? What's so important that He's gifted and equipped every one of us? What's so important that we all be unified? What's so important that we all consider one another in love? What is so important that our church get involved with this? Here's where it comes to a head in verses 15 and 16. The last word of verse 15 is who? Christ, okay? Keep that in mind. Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Let's stop here. So who is the one that fitly joined the whole body together? Christ, okay? I like to start this verse off with Christ. Understand that your verses are not inspired, okay? Verse 15 is this, and verse 16 is this. You know, it just goes on, and people of old put it into verses so that it would help understand ideas. But understand here, if we just look at verse, if you sat down for devotions and you just look at verse 16, and you didn't read who was in verse 15, you would miss out. You wouldn't know. But you read and you see Christ, which is the head, even Christ. And he goes right on with his sentence there. From whom? So we know it comes from Christ. Christ, from whom the whole body, follow this please as I read this. Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and pacted by the which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. Honestly, that part so far just summarized everything that I've just said. Christ gifting the body, every part of the body, to do the work of the ministry. Now, here's what I want you to see. Effectual working of the ministry, of the measure of every part. Here it is. What are the next words? Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, are you catching what picture we're seeing here? If I could do this, I would say we have here Christ, okay, for illustration, not because I need you to look at me, but everybody look up here just for a moment so you can see what I'm doing. I'm going to try to do it in a circle here. Christ, to who? Every one of us, right? Gifting us through the leadership for what? So everybody's doing the work of the ministry for the what? Or maketh increase of what? Of the body. Unto the edifying itself in love. You know what? That last part of the verse here, what do we see? We see growth. The reason why everybody gets involved, the reason why we're all gifted and the reason why we're all trained and prepared, the reason why everybody comes together in unity, the reason why everybody loves and considers one another is not so that we can be a good church that Christ pats ourselves on the back and says, good job. No, it's so that the church can do what? Grow. Folks, I didn't make this up. And the goal is not just from your passing, we just need to grow. We just need to get over 100. We just need to get more people. You know what? It doesn't matter about numbers, but numbers matter. Because who do numbers represent? Souls. People that need the Lord. So in a sense, do numbers matter? They do, because they represent people that we need to help. It's not a magic number that we're shooting for. It's people. It's souls. It's lives. And it's the mission of Jesus Christ. It is. This is His mission. And we see all of what I've preached in these four messages come to head right here. You know what He's saying very practically? Faith Bible Church, if you want your church to grow, then this is what you're going to do. You're going to receive those gifts. You're going to get every member involved. Every member involved that is going to be equipped. And that's why I say we're going all out. I want to equip you. We need to do this. That is important. Don't forget that we preached many, 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 many weeks ago. You need to be equipped so that we can discover, obey, and share and see people come in, and that we can, all of us working together, doing the work of the ministry, can grow. That's what He's saying there. You want your church to grow? You've got to get involved, everybody. If I could step back and say, folks, is it important that we all get involved in the ministry? What do you think? What do you think? It is. It is important. This, what I am preaching to you these last 15 weeks, this is not some wide-eyed idea that I just wanted to do because I thought it'd be fun. No, this is coming from a burden and a passion to carry on Christ's mission. We've got to do it. But we have to do it because I cannot do it. A couple people cannot do it. We all have to do it. And Christ isn't going to do it on His own because He has ordained the church to do it. And if we don't do it, then I guess from our part, we will not reach these people. We've got to do it. I am pleading with you and begging with you. Would you please get involved? Would you please find out what Christ has gifted you with, and let's move forward so that we can grow? It's important that we remember the who, all of us. It's important that we remember the what. Doing all these things. But if you thought that I had given you the most important, I want you to go to one last passage and we'll be done. And that's Matthew chapter 16. Remember, Jesus is calling His disciples to do all of this. Now, He didn't do it through a series of 15 messages. He did it through 18 months of training. But he did what I'm doing. He just in a different way. But He was walking with them. He was demonstrating. He was showing them. He said, I'm going to leave, but you've got to go out. But I'll be with you, and I'm going to give you My comforter. But you need to reproduce yourself. In fact, you need to go out and bring others back so that they could do it. We looked at that, you know, in John chapters 13 through 17. We did. Remember when Christ sent them out, and He said, I want you to send them out to be safe so you can bring them back to disciple them? He did. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did, what I am trying to give you, Faith Bible Church. I'm trying to give you this as well. And there came what? At what point in time? There came what I titled this message, there came a decision for each one of these men. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man, and He was speaking directly to them, will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and what? Follow Me. There would come a decision. A decision to say no to themselves. A decision to say yes to God. A decision to step forward in action. You see, these men made a decision they would be willing to follow. Now, I ask you, do you think these disciples had any idea of what they were getting into? Do you think? Oh, they had a little bit of an idea. But I don't think they knew the half of it. Do you think that if one of them would have known, he would have been hung upside down on a cross? You think it'd have been a little bit of a struggle? Maybe. You think if one knew he was going to be sawed asunder in half, you think that he would have had to think about it a little bit? I can't tell you what they would have done. They did not know everything that it was going to mean. And I can't pretend to tell you that they did. They didn't have an idea of what they were getting into. You know, some of you, with this whole thing that I've been presenting, you say, but where is he going with this? I don't know what I'm getting into. Now, I'm not trying to keep it from you. In fact, next Sunday morning in Sunday school, I really want to share it. I've tried to share with you on Sunday morning in Sunday school. I'd like to organize our church in small groups so that we can discover, obey, and share what God has given to us. Now, that's all the truths. That's all the backing. That's all of the truth from God's word that I gave you as the backbone of all this. Next Sunday, I'd like to practically show you how to do it. But you know, some of you are saying, what are we getting into? But can I submit to you, the disciples didn't know everything they were getting into, but they said, listen, if this is the way Christ did it, then this is what I want to do. You see that decision? It's a denying of self. It's a saying yes to God. It's saying, listen, I'm ready to step out and do it. I'm ready to step out and use myself, all of the body, me, to help accomplish Christ's goal. Folks, you know that every one of us, I contemplated it, but we're not going to do it this morning. I thought about, you know, having an invitation and saying, okay, everybody that's willing to follow Christ, stand to your feet. I'm not going to do that this morning. But you know what? In some ways, I wonder if we should, because there's a commitment. You know, these disciples had, at a certain point in their life, they had to stand there, and there was Jesus, and he said, come and follow me. And they had an opportunity to look back at their fishing nets and their families, and they could look back at that, and they could look at Jesus, and they could sit there. And you know what? There were some disciples that Jesus said, would you be willing? You know, one came to him and said, what would it take for me to be your disciple or to enter the kingdom of heaven? And he gave him the criteria. You know what? He looked back, he looked forward, and you know what he did? He looked at Jesus Christ and said, I can't do that. And he turned around and went the other way. You see, for every one of us, there is a decision. Sometimes it's a decision of, I don't know all the ins and outs, but you know what? I want to follow Christ. And I love what Ephesians tells us in chapter 4 of how Christ wants to use me to see the Great Commission reached. Do you realize that? I'm not trying to say we ought to get proud of anything. No, because it's not us. But isn't it neat that Christ wants to specifically use you to see the world reached? He does. But it's not going to happen unless all of the we's decide we want to do it. It's possible. But he's given it to the church. He's commissioned us. And there will be some that will do this. And that will go back. And there will be some that say, yes, I'm going to do it. I don't know exactly what it means, but I'm all in. I'm all in. I ask you a question. Are you willing to follow? I'm not talking about follow me. Are you willing to follow Christ at fulfilling his great commission? I'm going to give you more of the ins and outs of it next week as we practically, and if you're thinking some amazing, great, big thing, you're wrong. I shared with you what we want to do. There is no big mystery. It's discovering for ourselves what God has given. It's deciding I'm going to obey that this week and I'm going to tell somebody else about it. Honestly, that's really the nuts and bolts of it in an organized way, that's what I want to share with you. My question to you this morning is would you be willing to follow? It comes to a decision, would you follow? We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And the song is, you can probably guess it, it's, I have decided to follow Jesus. I trust if you want to. I'm not saying, you know, that I'm gonna get you this week and I'm going to say, hey, I want you to. No, would you just be willing to follow God and what he wants you to do? I'm asking you, I am not going to have a stand-up come forward and everybody look and see who the disciples are. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let this be between you and the Lord. But I am going to ask you to make a decision this morning. And as you're standing there and as we sing that first verse and then maybe we'll be quiet for the second verse, I'm asking you to come to that point where you are standing there just like one of the disciples and say, you know what, am I going to join in Christ's mission or am I going to step out? Now you can stop and say, but Pastor, I witness on my own and I will do this on my own. Every one of us ought to witness on our own. Every one of us. But we all have to do this together because he did not commission individuals. He commissioned the church and all of us to do it in an organized way. We need to be together. What we're doing, I'm not saying you have to show up this Saturday for soul winning to be a part of it. But I'm saying we need to strive together in this so that we follow what Christ has given to us. It's a decision. Would you decide to follow Christ this morning? Let's stand to our feet. The hymn is 635, the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I'm going to ask you to make a decision in your heart this morning. Would you be willing to follow Jesus in carrying out his great commission? Would you be willing to do that? We'll sing the first verse, and then we'll stop singing on the second and let the piano play, and we will. I'm just going to ask you to make some decisions about following Christ. 635, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.